don't know if this is going live. I see everything going on. This is on air.
Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and if anybody heard me talk just before, it's only because we have this delay now. This is Mae speaking to everyone out there from New York, in hot, humid New York, and this is Cynthia, and you're having rain, and I know.
Torrential rain. Yeah, and now we have this cyber ghost at the top of our show with our cyber interruptus. We're both going, is it going to go?
I don't know. We're both. It's just kind of, I know. I just had, because I saw the light go on, I said, we're on air, but nothing was happening. So,
and our music, you know, according to my studio board here, our music was playing, but it didn't. So, well, anyway, we are live. We're on the air. It's pouring rain here in Nashville. It is a nasty, nasty day.
Today, Monday, let me tell you something. It is awful in New York. I mean, the traffic, if anybody was trying to get to work, there was a fire in the tunnel, in the Lincoln Tunnel, so that backed up everybody. Wait a minute, here's the best part. Then they moved everybody over to the trains, New Jersey Transit, and one of the trains got stuck, broke down in the tunnel as well. So that also, so either way, you were coming over, it was always going to be a big, huge delay. So I'm glad I didn't have to do that.
I know. It's funny here in May, you know, and here in Nashville, they act like, oh, 15 minutes in traffic is horrendous. And I'm like, oh, I lived on Staten Island, 25 miles from Manhattan. It took us 2 hours to get there, no matter what the traffic was, no matter what the day was. It was just hideous, you know.
I cannot even think about Staten Island because that bridge always has a problem. I come over from the side of New Jersey, because it's easier for me to come from that side and going over the Goethals Bridge. And I'm telling you, it is just insane. I'm just glad I don't have to go that far, and I'm just glad I didn't have to leave this morning to go anywhere, because I would have been late no matter what. But it's been a crazy week. I mean, I had a great weekend. I got to tell you, September 4th, if anybody has Showtime, the Jimi Hendrix documentary on the Atlanta Pop, second year of Atlanta Pop, where he starred in. I was great. I saw a preview of it. It's amazing. The man was so, I don't think he broke a sweat. I'm watching him, and, you know, and he's wearing this velvet, it was beautiful, like Japanese, like sleeves, and he's playing the guitar with all the jewelry, and I'm thinking, how does he play with all of this? But it was amazing, and I'm looking at his face. I don't see sweat falling off of this man's face at all. But it was a great movie.
Don't you think he's more appreciated now than he was when he was alive? It's like people really look now and study him and say, whoa, he was really underrated.
Absolutely. People recognize it then, but I mean now even more so. And it'll be on Showtime. Anybody has Showtime, September 4th, it's Jimi Hendrix documentary, Electric Church. So it was great. I had a great time watching that. It was amazing just to see that, some old footage. And you know what? The footage, the guy who shot it, he said nobody really cared about it, so they didn't bother to develop it till recently. It was sitting in his barn for 30 years.
Can you imagine? Well, you know what? We do have a great guest today, and actually he's on to talk about tapes that he made back in between 79 and 99 of some of these bands. So it's almost a similar thing where he's got this archive of tapes of concerts. But before we get to him, he's hanging on. Don't go away, Jay. You are off to Liverpool soon.
Oh, my God. Next week, after we do our show, which is live again, we're doing with Baron Wolman, I believe, right next week.
Yes.
I am off to Liverpool to do, I'm a guest speaker at the International Beatles Week, and it's going to be fun. I'm going to enjoy, because I love Liverpool. I'll get a chance to see my friend Frida again, who I just saw when we were celebrating her birthday. And we'll, you know, and it'll be a lot of fun. I just saw Joey Mullen the other day, and things like that. So it's, you know, people like that. I saw, and he's going to be there as well. So it's going to be fun.
Oh, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. I wish I was there, but, you know, as I've said, this Cinderella has to pay for her own glass slippers. So I'll be working away, and I'll be jealous as all heck.
Yeah,
but
I know.
Have a great time.
You know, and it's crazy because the fact is, you know, it was great. You know, I had the Beach Boys around the corner from me, too. God, it was raining that day, but and then it cleared up. It was But I'm telling I wish you could have come. I'm having my friend, our friend, Becky. Becky's coming.
Is going. Yeah. She's my editor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she's working with you. And you girls are going to have a great time. I want to see pics. I should give you like a flat Cynthia to take, and you can hold me up and say, Cynthia, you were here. Cynthia, you were there. I might work on. And actually, I could ask our guest to draw a cartoon flat Cynthia for us.
Oh, there you go. Jay.
Let's get him on the air.
Let's get him on
a few times before. He is a fantastic guest. First of all, he's a cartoonist is really just the tip of the iceberg for rock and roll comics. He's a columnist for the San Diego Reader. He is a great interview, and also too, we've had him on to talk about his former partner Todd Lauren and the fact that his murder has never been solved. So we're going to hit on that a little bit too. But right now, we're welcoming back Jay Allen Sanford. He has a collection of live concert tapings that have been called the Great Tape Conversion by Music Aficionados. And it's rare and historic concert moments that he put together, and he is with us live to reveal some of his favorites and bring us up to date on his life in a cartoon world. Welcome, Jay, back to the show.
Hello, May. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi.
How you doing?
Great to have you back.
You know, my tapes actually were, they were never intended to be bootlegs, per se. I was really doing these as work tapes, interviewing the bands, and I would record the shows to do reviews later. And it really wasn't until 15, 20, 30 years had passed, and I realized I had 5 boxes of these tapes, that I realized I should start archiving them, start putting them on CD and putting them out. And that's been my project this year.
Wow. How many do you have? I mean, is it a lot? I mean, do you remember who's on it or?
Well, so far I've got about 5 boxes worth, and I've put out about 60 different CDs in the last several weeks. And I'm guessing there's about 300, maybe 400 left that I've yet to go through.
Oh, my goodness.
But what's amazing is I don't always know what's in the stash until I just kind of reach in and pull something out. Yesterday I pulled one out by a band called The Origin from 1990 in San Diego. I had no idea who they were, and I didn't remember the show, so I looked it up online. It turns out it's Michael Andrews, who later did the Donnie Darko soundtrack, including that terrific version of Tears for Fears' Mad World. This was his teenage band, and this was his showcase he did for Virgin Records. And I happened to tape it, and I didn't know I had this until about 24 hours ago. So I just posted it online, and I've already got like 30 requests for it. It's
there you go.
I pulled out at random. I had no idea I had that.
That's amazing.
Wow.
I
mean, do you have a favorite that you've discovered so far, one that just like totally, besides that one, that just shocked you?
I think I pulled up an Arthur Lee and Love show from 1994 that I wasn't expecting a lot from. I didn't really remember the show that well. But as I was looking it up, I found the bassist tour diary, and he actually wrote on there that if anyone has a tape of the show, it's the only time that we ever performed the song Feathered Fish. And it was this complete freak out that just went on, and it just didn't go well, apparently. But it's the only time they ever performed it, and it's kind of a legendary lost thing that I emailed him and said, oh, I have it. I'm duping it today on CD. Would you like a copy? And that's one also that has been super, super popular. Your producer, Gary Rashik, in fact, that was the first thing he asked for, was his Love Show from 1994.
That would be him.
We've
had many conversations about certain things. That definitely. Gary loves all that stuff, and it's great. I'm glad
show,
that you, yeah. And listen, it's great that you have this. Was it on cassette or was it on?
They were all taped on cassettes. I used to sneak in a little portable Sony recorder starting around 83, 84 or so.
Right.
They
were the first
before
to do
that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
They were the first people to actually make a cassette player that was a recorder. That's why John Lennon was so excited because in about what was it, like 73. I think it was the TC-75 was the number on it. But he said, oh, my God, it's a cassette player with a recorder. He was so excited that he could now record something and just leave it, and any ideas would just go on a tape so he didn't have to clutter up his brain with all this stuff and try to remember it. And
absolutely,
it was great for him.
It made all kinds of people's careers a lot easier. And
yes,
at the time, as I said, my plan was to just review these shows. I could actually get permission sometimes to tape them by telling them that I am working for the Reader or whatever magazine I'm on staff for, and they'd let me hold the tape recorder up, and I'd get really, really good sound. And because I don't sell them, I don't really consider myself a bootlegger. I throw them online. I don't
right.
even actually upload them. I don't actually know how to do that. I put them on CD, and I only swap them with people who have other concerts for other CDs. So I don't think I can get in trouble as a bootlegger, per se.
No, that's
I'm
going to
keep
going
through all five boxes until I see everything I've got and continue putting them out until I run out. I've got some from your backyard, Cynthia, from up in Connecticut when I lived up there in the early 90s. I've got stuff from the L&G Club and Toad's Place.
Oh, my gosh.
The Agora. I have backstage interviews with folks like Joey Ramone at
oh
Toad's
my
Place
gosh.
From 92.
Oh.
And
that's
I throw
amazing.
Those on as bonus discs with some of these releases. I'll throw the backstage
wow.
work stuff on there, too.
That's
now, don't
great.
You think, I'm sure that once the word gets out about this, I think you're going to probably be approached by a lot of these old-timers now, and I hate to use that term, but it's the truth, and to say, hey, you know, I'd like to hear it, or I'd like to have this. Because back then, when these bands did these concerts, they weren't really thinking, oh, I hope I have a tape of this. You know, they
oh,
were
not like
on
today, where every show is bootleg. Every single show that happens now is archived somewhere.
Yes.
But you're right. Several of the bands have actually caught wind of it and gotten a hold of me. And sometimes I actually, if I have a direct contact with them, I'll let them know. I think I'm going to go ahead and contact the guys from The Origin and let them know I found their Virgin Records showcase, so they might get a kick
oh,
out of that.
Is,
oh, I think
there was one that I played where a guy in the middle of the show took place at a guitar trader, and in the middle of the show they auctioned off or raffled off her out of her guitar. And I heard the name of the guy who won it, and I thought, you know, I thought the local CMU guy that still plays. So I contacted him. He says, dude, that was the day my music career started. I won that guitar
oh,
that day. I can't
oh,
believe you have
God.
A tape of me winning the guitar. And he plays all the time. He's one of our busiest local players.
Oh,
so unexpectedly,
wonderful.
I turned up with the moment that his music career started.
I love
wow.
it. I love
that is
it.
Crazy. Hey, let's talk a little bit about your cartoon life, okay?
Certainly.
Rock and Roll Comics. Describe what Rock and Roll Comics actually is.
Well, we did unauthorized biographies of bands in comic form back before Behind the Music, and essentially that same format Behind the Music took is kind of what we were doing. We would dramatize events very controversial in some cases. Some of the bands tried to sue us. Guns N' Roses famously came after us. New Kids on the Block actually got us all the way through a court case that we won, establishing First Amendment rights for comics for the first time. And after that, we were on a roll. We started doing sports stars. We started doing movie figures, literary figures, politicians. We did over 300 bios between 1990 and about 1995 or so.
I'm thrilled. I found that out after about myself, and I had no idea. And then I saw this comic, and I said, somebody mentioned. I said, a comic. So I know it's wild that I'm actually one of those bios that you guys.
Oh, yours is one of our best sellers too. The Beatles Experience book was a full 8 issues. It was written by the company founder Todd Lauren, who, as you mentioned, was murdered in 1992. It was really his life's work was creating that book, and he was a big fan of Johnny. He was a big fan of you. He was a big fan of music, and he put a lot into that series. And I'm really glad to see that nowadays some schools pick it up. It's used in sociology classes because it has a timeline of historical events that correspond with what's happening with the Beatles. And massively entertaining book, massively informative. And I think that'll stay in print for just about ever.
I'm thrilled. I go down in history and comics. I love it. Oh, God. I love
it. She loves that.
Isn't there a scene of you and Phil Spector in there? Aren't you part of that?
Yes.
Debacle?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Makes for great comics, doesn't it?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. It is the most talked about time period of John's solo career. It just seems Phil Spector, Harry Nilsson, all the stuff, Smothers Brothers. It was when I was with him. So it's kind of a weird thing, you know. And
you
also
think about putting out your own comic book, man.
Now I should, right?
Well,
with all the people I've seen.
No
after
kidding.
That.
Well, you know what else, too, May? And it's let me just point out here.
I'll be talking to you, Jay, about this.
Yeah, there you go. Hey,
first
I want to be a cartoon,
please.
Too. But, you know, the time that he was with you, May, really, he was more open and more accessible. And I think that that's why a lot more was seen about him and with him. Whereas when he's was with she whose name will not be mentioned before and after, you know, he was more kept away from people. And
well, you know,
that's simply that's simply a point I'm making. You might not agree, but
You know what it is. Also, for me, this was our relationship, which was totally different from hers. That relationship was different, and he was more accessible, and a lot of people who were around us, some we could also testify that that he was not as wild as everybody has made him out to be. And then I also have people that have said they were with me, and I'm going, when? I don't drink. And I said, when did I see this person? I don't know. That's happened many times already. And I'll be just standing there dumbfounded with this look on my face. Or people say, oh, I'm a friend of so-and-so. And I'll go, okay. And I'll have this thing. And they go, you know, just to hang around with you and John. I said, okay. It's like, when?
That's one of the interesting thing about archiving things in comic form is you want to pull in multiple points of views. As a result, some of the subjects weren't happy about how they were portrayed. That's why Axl Rose would get mad, but then Slash would pat me on the back and say, Axl Rose, man, his nose blew up when he saw that comic. It was funny.
I love that.
Well, you know,
varying points of view. And it would be interesting to do your story, May, with then inviting points of view of others and examine some of those Rashomon-type moments that everybody saw a little bit differently, even though they experienced the same event.
I know it's quite interesting. You know, with Slash, he was a little boy. Well, it sounds terrible now for me. I feel like a decrepit 80-year-old person, but he was a young boy. But his mother made two coats that both John and I have, because John said we should both have these coats, and they're beautiful. I have mine, and she was a beautiful clothing designer, Ola Hudson. It was beautiful.
Wow,
so I still have
wild.
My coat. It's the black coat that people see John wear, a long coat, and it's a velvet, beautiful. It's beautifully done, and I'll never forget it. And John says, "No, you got to have one too." So the two of us used to wear it. It's just gorgeous. It really was, and still is. I still have
one. Well, if we do the comic, we'll make sure the artists get that thing down to the last stitch.
There you go.
Right.
Really
hey, this sounds like a deal in the making, a comic in the making. I just want to be portrayed kind of like Jessica Rabbit, okay? Because I have to be the comic, all right? So yeah, I'm going to take license. Hey, let's talk a little bit about Todd Lauren. We actually did a show about him because you have never given up in trying to find out why this happened to him and who did it. And is there anything, any news, anything that you can bring us up to date about with it?
Well, there's really not. There was a film that was released a few years ago called Todd Lauren's Rock and Roll Comics that then came out on DVD under the title The Story of Rock and Roll Comics. And that showed a lot about the investigation into the murder, where it went, which was basically nowhere. And that supposedly engendered a lot of tips when it first came out. I'm not privy to, you know, what the follow-up was on those. But my hope is that the publicity that the film brought about, the publicity I did for the film, I'm hoping that the hot seat is kind of warming up again for whoever did do it, and that someone out there that has some information will come forward fairly soon, and we can find out. He was killed in June 1992 at the peak of the company's powers, basically. We kept going for a few years after that. But really, the air was let out by that time. It was without him as our figurehead, it was really hard to keep going.
And how old was he when he was murdered?
He was 32.
32.
And he was actually killed just a couple of days after Mad Magazine founder William Gaines died. So it was, even though I consider Todd a fairly important figure in the comic world, his death was kind of overlooked with all the attention paid to William Gaines. So I think a lot of people aren't even aware that he was murdered, let alone, you know, the unsolved circumstances.
Right. Did he have any heirs to the comic? I mean, now that after he died, I mean, is there somebody else?
His father actually became the company president after that, and his father still maintains the properties.
Okay.
He's the fellow that still keeps the things in print, does the licensing and things like that. But Todd wasn't married and had no children, so though it remains in the family, it's not something that he was able to pass on, per se.
I hope his father has it so that whoever gets it next, you know, when that it continues, that it just doesn't drop off.
It actually still is. Things that Todd started that I don't think he would have ever dreamed would continue are still going. He started a line called Carnal Comics that you and I have discussed that were geared for adults. And I think he did maybe 3 issues before he died. That's still being published to this day. I published it until around 2000. A fellow named Stephen Crompton picked it up after that, and he actually created the first live-action film based on an adult comic book using the Carnal Comics logo and the imprint. And they've been very successful. I don't think Todd could have ever imagined his Beatles book being in schools, let alone something like Carnal Comics still being a publishing concern when all the other companies have gone out of business. Marvel's gone bankrupt twice, I think, since Todd started Carnal Comics. It is still going to this day.
Wow. I love this.
Go ahead, May.
No, I was just going to say, I'm really very into, because I have friends that used to be part of producers and people are part of Court TV. And we talk about different unsolved cases. I may just talk to them about this.
I should mention, I think it would make a fantastic
story. The more publicity
story.
These things pick up, the more of a chance I think it'll be that something will happen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, somebody who gets away with something like that eventually trips themselves up, Jay. It's just a matter of time. It will happen.
They just this last month confirmed that Albert Trisalvo definitely did one of the Boston Strangler killings. Just now confirmed
it. I didn't read that.
Always been
Why
up
didn't
in the air.
That?
No one knew for sure. He confessed and then recanted. His lawyer has maintained all these years that it was a false confession. But they just within the last month or so confirmed via DNA he did at least one of the killings.
Wow.
And
see,
what,
DNA
60 years later.
Yeah, but this is it. The DNA now becomes a very important part of this whole thing. If there's any saving of anything that's viable, DNA will be the key. So, oh, wow.
Well, here's hoping.
Well, now, go ahead.
I would love to see it soon.
Yeah, really.
No kidding, because it was a tragedy, and I just think 32 years old, at the peak of your career, you're just about to springboard off into bigness, you know, and this happens, and someone is out there that got away with it, and that's the disgrace of it, you know, and
sadly, the suspect pool includes everybody from Axl Rose to the New Kids to everybody who ever tried to sue us. There were so many people that didn't like what Todd did.
You need to do a comic about that. That would be a great rock and roll comic of all the suspects. Not to make light of it, because it certainly isn't, but he'd probably love that. He'd probably dig it. Like, yeah, go ahead, accuse them all. You know,
right, and then everybody's reading. I'm telling you, everybody be reading, go, I didn't know this. Oh, really?
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Well, as I understand it, Todd's father actually is scripting a comic book bio of Todd. I'm not privy to the publishing plans. But he's been working on that, and at least one of the old Rock and Roll Comics artists, a fellow named Scott Goodell, has been teaming up with him on that. He showed me some sample artwork, and hopefully I'm not letting the cat out of the bag too soon, but that is something that is in progress, a comic book bio of the guy that
really
pioneered comic book bios.
Jeez.
That, you know what? That'd be great. It would be great. What a great homage for him. And, you know, I think it's fabulous. And it's great. I'm just lucky. I was part of that and I didn't even know it. So it's
I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous that you're a cartoon.
We'll just have to do
I know.
Jay, we're going to have to do something. We've got to get her in there.
There we go.
I got to be a cartoon, Jay. Hey, now listen, if people want to go, where can they go to take a look at your great tape collection? Where is there a website, or how do they find out about it?
Well, because I am pretty old school with it, what I do is I post the covers and set lists on Facebook and Twitter.
Okay.
My Facebook page, just look up my full name, J. Allen Sanford, and Twitter's fairly easy to find. And that's pretty much all I do. I put it to the world, basically. I give them away. And then within a few hours or so, all these different websites full of swappers and tapers and bootleggers, they all get wind of it and start posting it, and I start getting the requests.
Well, you know what?
I'm not even privy to where else you can find them besides my old school posts.
Well, here's what's going to be the best thing. I'm going to be looking at you for Twitter and all these other places. They just see it on they'll see it on my thing. I got
plenty. Oh, very good. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll come up, we'll do something.
And the CDs are not for sale. Make sure everyone knows that they're not for sale, but they are for swap.
Yeah.
I don't want the FBI come knocking on my door accusing me of
No.
It's great, though. That's for everybody to have something in their archives. It's for their archives.
And
I think that as any of these artists back in the day, because who knows what they don't have, and they probably would love to be able to say to their children and their grandchildren now, look at mommy, look at daddy, and I think it's great. So, and I'll put it up on my wall too, and it'll be great to do. And, now, Jay, you got to keep us posted, on all things Todd, because we are really interested, if anything comes up and you want to talk about it. But more than that, come back and bring us up to date on this great tape conversion, because I think this is fascinating. I think it's really cool. Yeah.
And I'll keep you posted on that Todd Lauren bio. Perhaps you could have the author of that on as well.
Yes,
please.
And I'm telling you, we gotta make a comic out of Cynthia soon.
Yeah, I need a cartoon, Jack. Okay, it's not too much to ask. I want to be gorgeous.
Well, if we bring it all the way up to date, the radio show could be part of the story.
There you go.
Blog Talk Radio and the comics.
I could see that in the comic. I could see the two of us frantic, going, "Who's next week? What are we doing?
Okay.
Oh, it's not
the
working."
The only thing is, the first page or two will have to be blank, since we now have 20 seconds of dead air at the top of the show. Okay.
There we go.
I can't figure that out. Listen, Jay, we're running out of time, so we're going to let you go. It was great to have you back on.
Always.
Well, thank you for having me. I very much appreciate it.
Thank you for coming.
Good luck.
All right, enjoy the rest of the day.
Okay.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
What a
I
great...
love him. I love his energy, and I love the fact that he's just so generous with, his life's work. I mean, come on.
Yes, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's so nice to know about my own comic here.
I know. Is that not the coolest? Do you have the comic? Do you have a copy of it?
I think I might. If not, I'm gonna at one point have to order
one. You
gotta
get one.
Yeah. The thing is that I definitely it's great. I mean, what am I gonna say? I had no idea. So I've been in now I'm in a comic. I mean, who would have thought?
Did you see what you looked like? I mean, did you see how you were
not,
drawn as a comic?
Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah. Cool.
I could send you a copy. I could send you what it looked like. I have it in an email, so I will send it to you.
Oh, good. Yeah. Send it to me. I want to see it.
Right.
That way I can see if I have to give him any notes on how he's going to draw my
comic. How you want to look. Okay. Next. All right. What are you up to? I know that this week I'm just getting myself ready for Liverpool. I love my friends, and I can't wait to be there.
You're going to have so much fun. So much fun. I'm so jealous. Also to our guest next week.
Yes. Baron Wolman.
We're excited about that. We like to call him our agent. Gary Raychak set that up for us, and he's got a book out. So we're really looking. Not Gary, Baron does. So we're really looking forward to
great
that.
Great photographer.
And,
yes.
Yeah. And what else?
That's it. And I think we're ready to
vine
down with all the dead air space that it's given us. I will have a good week, everyone. I'm signing off. This is May signing off from New York. Cynthia, take it away.
Okay, that was May Pang. I'm Cynthia Nielsen, and you've been listening to specials on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great week, everybody.